This is a CK to Z news update. As the deadline of January 31st approaches for the public to weigh in regarding the proposed 63.1-meter cell tower on southern Cortez Island, the diverse opinions speak to the very nuanced nature of the issue. CK to Z News made a public appeal for comments and received significantly more responses from residents with some level of concern than those in full support. We have attempted to present a full range of attitudes and beliefs as they were made available. The proposed tower is currently sited on La'aman Nation-governed land called Pakiajim. It is adjacent to Rexford Road, which curves and changes its name to Beasley Road. Samantha Staten, who lives on Beasley, has started a public petition against the tower.
I will be able to see it out my kitchen window if it goes ahead, and I have a big issue with what they call public consultation. Only two of the neighbors on my road got notifications about it. If it wasn't for one of my neighbors who's going to practically be living right underneath it, if it goes ahead, she contacted me and asked if I knew about it, and I said, no, I don't. So she emailed me the information, and I was automatically against it. I don't want this tower. I don't want to have to be looking at a tower. We don't know the safety of this tower. If it goes through, it'll be in a very beautiful area with an immense trail system, and that will be destroyed.
Whaletown resident Yulia Kochubievsky has become involved with an initiative seeking more transparency from TELUS.
So for Rexford Road and Beasley Road, there are 15 homes. And of those 15 homes, 13 are definitely against it. And the other two are elderly that we haven't heard back yet from. I have seen a lot of letters that have been written to TELUS for the current proposal. So I have some preview there. What I can see is that there is a general consensus that the current proposal is inappropriate. This tower is too close to home. It's approximately 80 meters from a home, and everybody can imagine a tower being built so close to their home, and they're saying, this is not okay. We're not supporting this. There has to be something better that we can do. Also, environment assessment has not been done. That tower is on the trail that leads to the maple tree, as well as other trails in the area. Also, it is on a migratory path for birds, and we feel that it is appropriate before a tower is constructed that the environment will be assessed to see what animals and wildlife call it a home and who can be damaged.
Jillian Lang also joined the letter writing campaign, but in her case, in support of the tower.
But before I did that, I just wanted to find out what people's objections are to it, just so I could make an informed contribution.
She asked an open question as to why people oppose the tower on the Facebook group Cortez Island is Home. She received over 40 comments, some suggesting other technologies such as radio phones and picocell networks, but few clear statements in opposition.
I was hoping for more specific reasons why people were against it. I guess the fact that I didn't see anything new in there did help me decide not to change my original opinion. For me, it's all about emergency services and just keeping up to date with where the world is at for communications. I don't want to be left behind. I believe in progress and I believe in science and what develops from that.
Can I ask which part of the island you live in?
Near Cortez Bay.
So how is your cell service there now, if any?
It's good. It's fine.
Concern for safety is by far the number one reason cited by proponents of the tower. Sandy Hoffman said the following.
I'm definitely for the TELUS tower. I'm speaking for myself personally, not on behalf of the Cortez Island Fire Department or the Cortez Health Center, places that I work. For me personally, the big picture is that cell towers, no, they're not pretty, but they could contribute to saved lives through improved communications, and that's far more important. As a volunteer firefighter, I know we use cell service for additional communications, so it's very important for emergency services. And at the health center, many appointments these days are done over the phone, so it's very challenging connecting. Some people don't have landlines, so we want everyone to be able to have all the services. And as a TOC,
that's teacher on call,
at the school as well, the cell phone coverage is minimal to none. It's important. If the power's out, if the phone line goes down, especially because it's actually an evacuation center for the island. And obviously they need to have
good lines of communication.
That makes sense. Given that we don't have cell towers yet, could you speak to how, for example, the clinic is set up to deal with these kinds of situations?
The health center does have generator power from the fire hall, and we do tend to be able to keep internet communications, which includes our phones, when the power goes down. But at the same time, you just want that extra security. If the internet goes down as well, then it becomes more problematic and you want to be able to reach out in more ways. We go sometimes days without power. The generator can last a long time, but at the same time, you should have backup plans, and the cell phone provides that backup communication, which is ideal. And for me personally, I think about it, if I broke down in my vehicle, it's as simple as I'd really like to be able to call for help instead of having to walk however far, maybe in the dark, maybe in the really cold, in order to be able to get help. If my kids or my mom needed help, I'd really love it if they would be able to reach me. If someone has an accident in the bush, it's really important that they can call 911 if needed. Right now, there's lots of areas that they can't. So for emergency communications, the cell phone tower will provide that extra security, extra help for people.
Mike Brown is a Whaletown resident.
The safety argument is good. It's a solid argument. Safety is also a bit of a scoundrel's argument, because if you disagree, then what does that mean? You're in favor of danger? It's a bit of a polarizing thing. I'd say the people who argue for safety in a lot of cases are going to be trying to simplify it. This is way too complex a discussion for it to just come down to one thing. So safety, sure. But at what cost? We've just gone through 2 years of a world that's been concerned to safety. Are we liking that very much? Safety has its limits. The other thing is Cortez Island's been rolling for a long time here. And this is a bit of a hardline thing, but if you're really concerned about safety, maybe you need to be living in something more like an urban center. Part of a life lived involves accepting a little bit of risk sometimes.
Ron Bazaar, Tiber Bay resident, is in favor of wired instead of wireless communications technologies because of their speed and reliability. He mentioned that while Cortez frequently loses power due to tree branches snapping electricity lines, the phone cables are much thicker and typically the fallen branch will rest on the phone line without interrupting service. All landlines on Cortez begin with the digits 935.
What I see is, first of all, our 935 exchange needs to be upgraded at the switching points where when power goes out, make the generators or the batteries so they can last for up to a week if need be. All 935 lines open. And so people who only have a cell phone, I suggest that they get a 935 landline in place. Because if homes all have it, you're not that far away from somebody. And secondly, it brings up the issue, should every square inch of the planet have cell phone reception? Should every back road that you go on, up a logging road somewhere in the middle of Vancouver Island, you want to be able to make a cell call or one of the straits on your boat? Where do you draw the line? You can do it with a more expensive phone. If that's your personal worry, then get one of those.
He's referring to satellite phones.
But to have everywhere covered, I can live without that, because these towers, and the bigger they are, not without health consequences. But the radiation coming off of that, it's huge. Yes, the industry says, don't worry, be happy. Just like in the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s, even the 90s, the tobacco company said, there's no problem, there's no cancer from cigarette smoke, and asbestos was safe, and thalidomide was safe, and lead in cars and paint was safe. We all know those industry stories were lies, and the regulatory agencies are often a revolving door from industry to government. And there's a lot of information, if you want to go and get it, about eminent scientists and doctors who've done many tests and studies of the dangers of our continuous exposure to radiation. Because it's antiquated testing that they're using based on heat generated from our phones. A test that is nonsense today, given the almost trillion-fold increase in human exposure to radiation that we have today versus a couple hundred years ago. Often the financial interests are very powerful and have a strong influence. Just like, for instance, in the U.S., there's more pharmaceutical lobbyists than there are congressmen in Washington. Every industry is like that. They're all lobbying their regulations to be as gentle and as mild as possible, and not for human health and well-being as the first priority. I respect other people's opinions, but there's a cost-benefit analysis, and there are alternatives, and as I say, where do you draw the line? Do we have to put towers everywhere all over the wilderness? One of the reasons a lot of people are here in the islands is to get away from all of the world as it is out there and to enjoy the wilderness that we're surrounded by.
Owen Beach is a telecommunications professional who grew up on Cortez and prior to moving away several years ago, worked full-time at local internet provider Twincom for 10 years. He still supports its behind-the-scenes operations remotely. In his professional opinion, if three high towers are installed as per TELUS's original plan, then there would likely be adequate cellular coverage across the island, and a generator and or small battery would likely keep the towers operational for some time during a power outage. But he feels there could be better placement of the latest planned tower.
It looked from the proposal that it was really close to the edge of the land, and like it was basically right next to someone's house. Wireless technology has only really been around in large quantities in the last 20 years or so, or even less. And things like cancer can take 30, 40 years to show up strongly as a signal. It's really hard to say whether it's totally safe. It's a very contentious subject, and there's a lot of data out there that's conflicting. But my own personal opinion would be I wouldn't want something super high power right next to my house. So I just was suggesting the possibility of moving it a little bit further into the forest. But of course, there's other things to consider, such as chopping down more trees to create a road, and then also having less effective use of that land because now you have a cell tower sort of in the middle as opposed to on the side.
He also explained a few technical details about 5G technology.
5G is essentially just a buzzword. It's promising faster speeds, but they're going to use all kinds of frequencies and technologies to achieve that. I think most people's concern with 5G is the higher frequencies, something like 60 gigahertz, and those specific frequencies definitely do only work pretty much direct line of sight. You can maybe have a couple walls in a house or a few trees, but when you get behind a corner of a mountain or a forest, basically doesn't work. These larger towers probably won't have 5G. They might eventually, but it seems unlikely. And if they are doing 5G, it would probably be still the more traditional frequencies that they're using now. One other thing that's really interesting to mention is that having a tower further away seems safer. But if you're a user of a cell phone, you actually want to be closer to the tower. Because when the tower's further away and behind a bunch of trees, your cell phone has to ramp up its power levels to talk to that tower. And so you as the user are actually being exposed to more electromagnetic frequencies, more radiated power than you would be if you were connected to a closer tower.
Whoosh. So gets it's, complicated
it's counterintuitive.
Quickly. Yeah. Lastly, he added a few personal comments.
I would just really encourage people to think hard about what they want for Cortez. And obviously it's going to be a personal decision, but collectively each personal decision adds up to
what happens, right? Cortez is a pretty special place. We get some pretty unique, beautiful nature, and we get to be away from the urban life that, you know, a lot of other people live in. And one thing I guess I would caution people about is every step that we make to add technology and comforts of modern life, we move away from that rural life of Cortez. And maybe that's what people want. But at least we should just be recognized that is what's happening. Every step that we make for new technology coming here is a step away from the nature of Cortez. You can have cell phone service and still be in the forest, but it's just things generally do tend to shift more towards a modern lifestyle when new technology come in. For example, fiber optics coming to town, cell phone service, all these things probably will make more people move there. So if that's what people want, great.
I don't know where they're going to move to. We have no housing.
Well, yeah, of course. That's another separate issue.
In part two of Community Voices on the cellular tower proposal, we will explore the most hotly contested issue. Is TELUS truly undertaking a community consultation?
In terms of you were asking, you know, whether TELUS is being transparent, it's an interesting question because I think we often think that these telecommunication providers should be telling us everything they're doing. But I guess it's something that we as a community have to decide what we want, you know, out of big companies.
CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.